3.
Thank you very much. And can I say, Australians one and all, it's with the greatest humility, resolve and enthusiasm that I sought the endorsement of my colleagues to be the Labor leader and to be the Prime Minister of this country.
It's 8 past 2. One thing we all like in life is honesty, and my next guest has written a frank and honest look about his time with the Labor Party and a speechwriter for Julia Gillard. Also served as policy director to federal Labor leaders Kim Beazley and Mark Latham, and joins me here at the Dog Lovers Show, Michael Cooney. Good afternoon.
G'day, good to be here.
Thanks for coming by. And what made you want to write this memoir?
I suppose I think there's a story which hasn't really been told about what it's like to be a staffer. There's a lot of books about what it's like to be a politician and a lot of books about the big picture of government, but there's something different that goes on backstage, and so I sort of wanted to tell a sympathetic story about that experience.
Can you give the listeners a bit of a look into what you have written about and what that role is like?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit in the book about the experience of sort of being anonymous in a way, of being behind the scene and of trying to support your boss and support your party, in my case the Labor Party, while watching it make mistakes that you can't fix and while watching things go wrong that you can't control, and also I suppose while seeing a side of your politician that the public don't see. That's an interesting challenge too.
And yet you're there writing speeches even though you believe things perhaps are not going the way they should be going, or they're not doing the things they should be doing, but you're writing speeches to try and sell it.
Yeah, you're doing your best to sort of make the most of the group, and I sort of sat in a windowless room inside another windowless room for most of 3 years, kind of 4.5 days a week tapping away on the speeches and half a day maybe watching one be given. So it was sort of, you were sort of observing your own team. It's kind of like being in a coach's box rather than on the field in a way.
Really difficult times too, the way the layout of seats and all of that, to all of those situations where you can't quite just go in and govern.
Yeah, it wasn't politics as normal, that's for sure. Yeah, it was a very different period in Australian politics, and I actually think, my view is, we've got a surprising amount done given how crazy it all was in a way, but it wasn't the politics we've been used to in the 1980s and 1990s, yeah.
I think most people feel that our politicians are too careful about what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And yet when we saw Julia Gillard a couple of times where she'd been challenged on things and she was just off her own bat, just ad lib, she was sensational.
Yes, the sort of, you saw a different side of the Prime Minister when she told it the way she thought it. I remember a misogyny speech, and I remember some other occasions where she kind of let fly and showed her real passion and motivation, and I think that's a side that we probably should have shown more of her in hindsight, but I think all politicians are really cautious these days, and I suppose we're all ready to jump on them and clobber them when they do get something wrong, so that's probably understandable.
I've met her a couple of times, mostly at grand final days, and I've found her to be fantastic company, good company.
Yeah, we went to the grand final together in 2003, actually. I was glad I had her there because I'm a Magpie and it wasn't a great day, so at least I had someone to talk to in the second half.
Is there a feeling with politicians, you've been close to three of them there and probably more than that, but is it hard to get a part of them that is really appealing to the general public and just put it out there?
It is, because there's a lot of... But the most normal thing as a politician is to become very strange. But what they do is really strange and artificial, and so a kind of normal reaction is to become a strange person. And to try and get them to stay normal actually requires a lot of effort, just to show their own... the kind of appeal which made them a successful person in the first place.
And yet Bob Hawke, when he was in that role as Prime Minister, had completely sort of changed the way he went about business, about life.
Yeah, he's the great one, isn't he? Like, Hawke's just got such an at ease with people and he loves it. He's still kind of, even at his advanced age, just, you can see him fill up when he's around a crowd. And you're right, he kept the best of his personality in government, but also left behind a lot of undisciplined and bad behaviour.
You're now executive director of the Chifley Research Centre, which is the sort of think tank for the Labor Party. Tell us about that.
It's an interesting job. It's kind of a new role. We've always had a think tank function, but this is really the first time that we've had a permanent staff and kind of a conscious effort to build Labor's culture of ideas. As everyone knows, a lot of campaigning and a lot of kind of, you know, trying to persuade people to vote. But I think what Bill Shorten's told us is we need to be defined by the power of ideas and by the power of our plans for the future, not just think about tomorrow and Question Time and media tonight.
Tell us about lead up to budgets.
Well, lead up to budgets was always interesting.
There were leaks and there's bits going on, the opposition just going nuts.
Sometimes the leaks are by accident, more often they're on purpose. It's quite a sort of a strategic period of kind of previewing, sort of trial balloons, and then most Saturdays before a budget, while we're in government, I'd sit down on the back deck and read a draft of the budget speech and give a few comments to the Treasurer's staff, but most of those meetings were all locked away in an even smaller windowless room where they were making decisions about money that happily they don't let the speechwriters get too close to.
How difficult is it for a female to be Prime Minister? Is it harder?
It is harder. I mean, I think that Julia herself put it pretty well. She said, didn't explain everything, but didn't explain nothing. The politicians I've worked for got scrutinised about their appearance. Kim Beazley got scrutinised about his appearance. Mark Latham got scrutinised about his weight loss or gain. Or
Tony Abbott with his laugh.
Tony Abbott with his laugh, you know. So they're all scrutinised in an unusual way, but I do think it was different for a female Prime Minister. And some of that was natural because it was new, and some of it was sort of nasty and unnecessary. It was a mix.
Will we see another female Prime Minister?
Oh, I hope so, yeah. I don't think the next Prime Minister of Australia will be a woman. I think the next Prime Minister of Australia will be Bill. But down the track, there's
some... like a true party man.
I did my best. No, there's plenty of talented women in the Parliament who are going to lead.
How long... How will Julia Gillard be remembered?
I think she'll be remembered as one of the toughest people who ever served in our Parliament, who got... despite all the kind of madness, including some of the mistakes she and we made, did more things than anyone really imagined at the time she could have in the face of all that opposition.
Did they do things to without enough research into them?
I definitely think we kind of bit off more than we could chew at times and tried to do a lot in a hurry, and then as things got difficult, we kind of knew that we might be running out of time, and there was ever more reason to press on and do things in a hurry, and I sometimes think we would have been better to do a few things over longer.
What about that sort of Kevin Rudd coming back and all that sort of that era? That must have been horrendous behind the scenes.
Well, actually, I was what we call fun employed by the time Kevin came back in, so we went to the beach for the next 4 weeks. It was pretty relaxed, actually. But no, it was a big trauma. It was a trauma, and people lost their jobs, and you know, it was a big change. So.
And it's sort of from outsiders looking on, a pretty, not embarrassing time, but an awkward time in our history.
Oh, yeah, I think anyone who looks back, and you know, as Labor Party people, someone like me has got to accept our share of responsibility for that, you know, that we people were not well served by that aspect of the government being disunified, and I hope the current government's learned from that, and certainly I think the party has learned from that, you know, you have to respect yourself more than that.
It's been said many times from and I'm not a political commentator, but from political commentators, that Tony Abbott was an excellent opposition leader.
He was a very effective opposition leader.
How do you see him as Prime Minister?
I think he's found the transition really hard, yeah. And I think partly that's because the job's very different, but also I think he left some traps for himself. He was kind of too effective as opposition leader, and he's boxed himself into corners that he now can't get out of.
Michael, great to meet you. The book is called, and I know there'll be lots of listeners who'll be interested to have a read. It's called The Gillard Project, My 1,000 Days of Despair and Hope. Were there some good times in there?
Oh, yeah, there were some good times. Yeah, the team was fun and the staff group was pretty unified, and there were more days of hope than despair. Just.
Michael Cooney, thank you.
Thanks very much.
It is 16 past 2. Coming up, we're heading to the movies. We've got the quiz ahead. We've got the Friday Drive. Hope you can stick around. 3AW Afternoons.
3AW Drive.
This road is simply east-west link backwards. Now, the Andrews government campaigned very, very heavily and has now spent over $400 million of our money getting rid of east-west link since it won office late last year.
3 to 6 weekdays.
They are taking us for fools. Because while it was terrible to start from the east and go west, it is perfectly okay to start from the west and go east. It is absolutely astonishing.
Drive on 3AW 693.
Harris Scarf's massive May sale is now on. Shop the latest looks in fashion and spoil mum this Mother's Day with these great offers. 40% off all Coco and Inspire signature knitwear. 40 to 50% off all women's sleepwear. And 40% off all gowns. Plus a lot more savings in store to spoil mum. Harris Scarf's massive May sale is on now for 1 week only.
Discounts offer your prices. No further discounts apply to catalogue and already reduced lines. Exclusions apply. See in store and online for details.
You know you really ought to take a trip to Bayswater.
If you're looking for a new or late model caravan, pop top or camper, a trip out to Bayswater Jayco could solve your needs. Bayswater Jayco has a great selection of new and pre-owned caravans on display. While you're there, drop into the accessory shop and say hello to Pete. He always has something new to show you for your caravan. Check out our website, bayswaterjayco.com.au, or come and see us today.
Bayswater Jayco, for sales and service and accessories.
Look out! With Sportsbet for rounds 1 to 8 in the AFL, place a head-to-head bet, and if your team lead at any break but lose, cash back up to $100. Sportsbet, download us.
Conditions apply, gamble responsibly.
Hi, Rob Sinclair from ENS Trading. Our huge Bosch sale is on now. Receive a minimum 20% off RRP across all Bosch appliances. Choose from ovens, cooktops, washers and more. T&Cs apply. Sale must end May 10 at all ENS stores.
There's one platform that doesn't require waiting for a train. It's Platform 28. It's your ticket to spoiling Mum on Mother's Day. That's Sunday week. Book lunch or dinner at Platform 28 for Mother's Day. Treat your mum to a delicious Sunday roast without the washing up, of course. She's relaxed. Every mum will receive a glass of French sparkling and be in with a chance to win a gourmet hamper as well. Just over the road from Etihad. Book now for Mother's Day at Platform 28. Village Street on the corner of Burke Street. Village Street in Docklands. Platform28.com.au. Conditions apply. And the phone number is 9670-9933. 9670-9933. Mother's Day at Platform 28.
We can fit in and deliver.
4-day sale now on. This Friday to Monday only. Up to 50% off. Hurry to your nearest showroom today or visit doorsplus.com.au.
Ian Reid here. Everything you need to know about selling your home the right way is in my free booklet, Fatal Real Estate Traps Exposed. So go and ring us and we'll send it to you. 9430-0000.
Ian Reid's Vendor Advocacy Australia. A better way to sell your home.
Hello, Bruce Mansfield here. Let me tell you about a wonderful product for targeted pain relief. If you have aches, arthritis, an old sports injury or post-surgery pain, do try the B-Cure Laser. It weighs just 175 grams and can be used anywhere. It comes with a 60-day money-back promise. You can even pop into their Hawthorne head office and they'll show you how to use it and have a cup of tea. Go on, try the B-Cure Laser. It's certainly helping me. Call 1300-499-455 or visit bcureaustralia.com.au.
Live from the Dog Lovers Show at the Royal Exhibition Building. Afternoons with Dennis Walter on 3AW 693.
Hopefully that a lot of people will go and see this, because it's important to all of us. He came up with the idea of computers. He helped crack the Enigma code and bring about an early end to the Second World War, saving millions of lives. It's a tragic loss for all of us. So I hope this story ignites respect and understanding of him beyond official pardons, and we can go and investigate his life and be inspired by it again.
And there's Benedict Cumberbatch from Imitation Game. Jim Sherlock, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis. And just very quickly, The Imitation Game is out on DVD and Blu-ray the next few days. And if you haven't seen it, it has to be one of the must-see movies of the year. It is absolutely fantastic.
He's in everything.
He's turning up in a lot. You're absolutely right. But he's a great talent. He's a very, very gifted actor, and we're going to see a lot more of him too.
And an unusual-looking sort of... He's got an unusual look about him.
He has, but still very charismatic. And I asked my Jenny, who you know, and I said, what do you think of Benedict Cumberbatch about a year ago? And she just adores him. He's just wonderful. I think he's great. I think he's a nice, refreshing talent on screens today.
9690693, if you want to talk movies with Jim Sherlock for The Blind Factory, rain or shine, the best in blinds. So what else is happening in the movie world, Jim?
I've been getting a lot of emails. I've had a lot of emails over the past couple of years or past few years in relation to a mini-series called War and Remembrance, which, of course, next week... is the 70th commemoration of the end of World War II in Europe. Well, finally, War and Remembrance is being released on DVD in a big box set next week for people to be able to buy and watch.
Now, we're here at the Dog Show. Why don't we throw the lines open about favourite animals in movies?
Absolutely. We've all got favourites. Mine is Greyfriars Bobby, but there's some wonderful, wonderful movies out there. I think the first big star in cinema was Rin Tin Tin. Oddly enough, the very first Rin Tin Tin got fired by Daryl F. Zanuck.
How do you fire a dog?
Who was then working at Warner Brothers. They came up with the idea that, because Rin Tin Tin was a dog who saw battle in World War One, and eventually ended up at a studio at Warner Brothers in Hollywood, and they were making his first movie when Daryl F. Zanuck, before he started 20th Century Fox, was running Warner Brothers and walked up to have a look to see what was happening, and the dog bit him on the backside, so he sacked him, and they got another dog to replace him, and of course he's become one of the most
popular. Could have been a few people wanted to do that.
Oh yeah. he's become one of the most iconic animals on the screen.
Bad career move for dog.
It certainly is. I don't know what happened to the original dog, but I'm pretty sure he was looked at.
See, I grew up seeing Rin Tin Tin as a television animal.
Yeah, The Adventures of Rin Tin Tin. What a great little show. I love that show, and not available on DVD. I wish it was. I'd like to revisit that.
And Flipper and the Littlest Hobo.
Oh, the Littlest Hobo was adorable, yes.
96900693, your favourite animals in movies with Jim Sherlock. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis, and g'day, Jim. I've got a movie from the early 60s about a bull terrier.
The Incredible Journey, is that the film?
No, sir. It's called Champion Regent Royal.
Oh, wow. That is a blast from the past.
Oh, my goodness. What a good movie. It's actually narrated by a voice of the dog telling his story through the movie. Absolutely brilliant.
A lot of them were done back then. Things like The Incredible Journey. They had narrators do Grape Rise Bobby, whereas today they tend to give the animals voices. Now, I don't think that's right. I think that they should, they should just leave the animals as natural as they are.
96900693, favourite animals in movies, Adam.
Oh, g'day, boys. Just the orangutan glide in any which way you can and any which way you lose is Eastwood.
Ah, good nomination.
Yeah, stole the movie, didn't he?
Oh, pretty well.
I don't know how long they live, but I hope he's still around because he was wonderful. He turned up in quite a few movies, but he was quite a character.
A fabulous character. That really captured people's imagination. Ian, good afternoon.
Yeah, how about Mr. Ed?
Oh, what a wonderful TV series. It's one of the rare occasions where the voice actually worked with the animal, because it was a comedy series.
Who was the voice?
It will come to me. It wasn't Chill Wills was the voice of Francis the Talking Mule. Rocky.
Hello.
Alan Rocky Lane was the voice of Mr. Ed.
And what was the one you just mentioned?
Chill Wills was the voice of Francis the Talking Mule.
When Francis was with Donald O'Connor in those movies?
Donald O'Connor was in about five of them, roughly, four or five of them, and then Mickey Rooney took over for one.
Pam, good afternoon.
Oh, hello, boys. Yes, I just absolutely adored Bambi when I was a little girl.
Did you?
And I think it's been reissued, hasn't it?
It has been reissued,
yes. And Lassie?
Bambi and Thumper.
And Lassie?
Lassie, of course, yes.
I love Lassie.
I love the TV series Lassie, which has just been released. The best of it's just been released on DVD, so it's worth having a look at.
Thank you, Pam. Good memories. Kevin?
Oh, g'day, Dennis. G'day, James. Jim, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Rin Tin Tin. I have four seasons of Rin Tin Tin, which I purchased on Amazon from England.
Uh-huh. So they're available overseas in the UK.
Yeah, but the thing they did was, the start of it, you know how they used to have the bugle?
Yep.
They changed the music at the beginning, which is a little bit annoying. I mean, yeah. It's still good. You know, they colourised it.
Well, that's always a big problem with a lot of the old shows now. It's the same thing happened for a long time with the Beverly Hillbillies. The music was completely changed due to copyright reasons. They couldn't do anything about it, so they just changed it.
Have we got a prize for Kevin there, Jim?
We certainly have, Kevin. We'll give you the wonderful, quirky comedy St. Vincent with Bill Murray, Melissa McCarthy and Naomi Watts, the fabulous thriller Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, and the blockbuster science fiction adventure Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, and they come with the compliments of Network Video, the movie people. Just go to networkvideo.com.au to find a store near you.
I'll give you an animal in movie.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Oh, Bruce. That's his name.
Is it?
Yes, Bruce.
He looks a bit tough to be a Bruce.
What a wonderful, yeah, that's pretty, he's a pretty, pretty popular boy, and he's kept people away from beaches for decades.
And have you been to Universal Studios?
I certainly have.
When he jumps out of the water at you?
Yeah, been there.
Does Bruce? And there's his music. Terry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I love Friday afternoons, Dennis.
Thank you, mate.
James, I've got a question. Do you remember the American TV show called The Littlest Hobo?
I absolutely do, and I remember absolutely loving it, yes.
It was fantastic. I haven't seen it since I was a young boy.
They did do a movie version of it back in the 60s. There's a movie version which is there, but I loved every moment. I used to race home from school and watch that series.
Time for the quiz, 96900693.